Okay, good morning, everybody. Chanukah Sameach. Very nice to see everybody here. I'm sorry, I was away last week. I just flew in last night from New York, but we're up and running and ready to have a shiur on a very topical issue, which is, I put here, by the way, there's some more sheets being printed. If you don't have a source sheet, then there should be one coming in a minute. I've called it here the downtown Chanukah. This is something, of course, in Israel, which we're not quite as sensitized to, because Baruch Hashem, there are Chanukiyot everywhere, every house, every front yard, etc. But of course, if you grew up in Chutz La'aretz 40, 50 years ago, you didn't see Chanukiyahs. When I was a kid, there was a Chanukiyah inside the house, the curtains were closed, you lit the Chanukiyah, and that's what you saw. Now, if you go around all over the world, you'll see 50-foot, 60-foot Chanukiyahs all over the place, in town halls or outside town halls, on cars, in public squares, shopping malls, even in the White House they had the Chanukiah lighting last week, even though it wasn't Chanukiah yet. Okay, you know, everything is Ke'ilu these days, and in 10 Downing Street. So the question is here, what is the origin of this apparently modern minhag? There is no discussion anywhere in the classic sources, in the Rishonim, in the Achronim, there is no discussion of people lighting menorahs in public places. Now, the reason for this is obvious. If you'd have lit a menorah in central Vilna in the mid-1800s, there'd have been one swift and furious response, and it wouldn't have been pleasant. So obviously there's no surprise that there's no discussion about this. There is a discussion about lighting in shul, and we'll talk about that very shortly. The question is, though, what is the status of a modern-day outdoor downtown Chanukiah? Is it a mitzvah? Is it pirsumei nisa? We'll define that a little bit soon in publicizing the miracle. Is it just a public brocha levatala? Meaning people make a brocha, asher kidushanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu, and light these things. Some people make a brocha, we'll see. Is that brocha legitimate or not? Is it a public kiddush Hashem or is it not? And as an extension from this, it's now very common when people have parties, weddings, bar mitzvahs, etc. They light a Chanukiah at the wedding, they light a Chanukiah at the party. Very often people might say a brocha on that as well. Is that acceptable or is that not acceptable? So we'll talk about this, we'll go through the sources, some really fascinating sources as we get through. The modern day phenomenon of the Chanukiah downtown really started in 1974. When the Chabad rabbi down in Philadelphia, Rabbi Avram Shem Tov, lit a Chanukiah underneath the Liberty Bell. That was the beginning of a long history. The next year, there was a large Chanukiah in San Francisco, and they've gone out from there. Chanukiah is made of Lego, Chanukiah is made of ice, you name it. Chanukiahs have been everywhere. And the question is, what is the halachic framework to that? So let's start with source number one. It's good to recap Hilchos Chanukah a little bit on Chanukah. So it's very clear from the Gemara that the mitzvah of lighting a Chanukiah is in the home. Is in the bayit. Number one, Tanu Rabbanan, mitzvahs Chanukah ner ish ubayso. It is each man for his own home one candle. V'hamahadrin, if you wish to go further and beautify the mitzvah more, ner lekol echad ve'echad. It's one candle for every member of the household. Meaning, if you have a couple, a father, a mother, and three children, they would light five candles, separate candles on every night. Five candles on the first night, five candles on the second night, five candles on the third night. That is the next level up of the mitzvah. The mahadrin, mena mahadrin, and those who wish to beautify the mitzvah the most, Beit Shammai Yomim, so Beit Shammai say, Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona, on the first day of Chanukah you light eight Chanukah candles, Mikan ve'elich puches ve'holech, and from then you go down. I'm not getting into Beit Shammai's view now. And Beit Hillel, which of course we follow, Omrim, they say, Yom Rishon Madlik Echad, you light one candle on the first night, Umikan ve'elich mosif ve'holech, and from then you go up 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's not clear from the mahadrin, mena mahadrin, whether that means one Chanukiah for every member of the household. Meaning, does the mum light a Chanukiah and the child light a Chanukiah and the sister and the brother and everyone goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? Or is it just one Chanukiah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 for the family? Different ways of understanding it. But what is clear for our purposes is that the mitzvah is ish is ner ish ubeitoi. It's a bayit. It's on the house. And this is codified in the Rambam. The Rambam makes it very clear. Number two, kama neras hu madlik. How many lights does a person need to light on Chanukah b'Chanukah? Mitzvah tashi yeh. This is the mitzvah. Kol bayit ubeit madlik. Kol bayit ubeit. Each household has to light ner echad, etc., etc. And he goes on from there. So it's very clear. If you go over the page, please. It's very clear that the mitzvah is incumbent upon the home. However, there is a second element to this. If you look at number three, the Gemara also then says, Tana Rabbanon, Ner Chanukah, where should the Ner Chanukah be lit? Mitzvah la'anicha al petach beito mibachutz. It's in the house, yes, petach beito, but it's not inside the house. It has to be facing outside the house, out on the outer entrance to the house. And Rashi explains mibachutz in number three, Mishum pisume nisa, and he brings in this idea of pisume nisa, publicizing the miracle. V'loy brushus harabim, but you don't put it right in the public domain, not in the middle of the town square, because that it has to be in the house. Lo brushus harabim ela b'chatzera, but in the yard. Meaning we're trying to find a compromise position, which is on the one hand in the house, because it has to be a mitzvah on the house, but on the other hand, somehow facing out of the house into the street, semi-public. Shebeiteim hayu petuchim lechatzer, because in those days, says Rashi, the houses looked into a yard, and you put it in the yard outside the house. This idea of pisuminis is fundamental. There has to be an element of publicizing the Chanukah miracle. I brought you a number four, by Rava, as ner Chanukah kiddush ayom. If you have only enough money to buy Chanukah candles or kiddush or wine for kiddush, which takes priority? Ner Chanukah adif. Better you should have candles for Chanukah, mishum pisumei nisa. The Gemara stresses again and again, pisumei nisa. So where are we left with? A mitzvah in the home, but a mitzvah not inside facing in, but a mitzvah outside the home, but connected to the home facing out. That is where we are, that is where the mitzvah seems to devolve. Now, you can see from here that the idea of lighting a Chanukiah in the middle of the town hall or the town square is irrelevant, because there is no bayis. Nobody lives, there are people who sleep out in the open, but that's not really a bayis. It's not really their home. Unfortunately, they're waiting for someone to help them have a real home. So why then do we light in shul? Nobody lives in shul. Why do we light in shul? So there is no mention in the Gemara of lighting in shul, and there is no mention in the Rambam of lighting in shul. Where do we see the mitzvah? So in order to understand the downtown Chanukiah, we need to spend a few minutes looking at lighting in shul. The mitzvah, or the minhag we should see now, to light in shul is mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. Look at number five. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Madlikin umavarchim, we light and we make a brocha bebet haKnesset in shul, mishum pirsumei nisa, because of pirsumei nisa. Because in order to publicize the miracle. And now, you'll be saying, but one second, nobody lives in the shul. So the Ramah immediately jumps in and says, in the Rashi script at the end, Ve'ein adam yotze b'neiros shel beit haKnesset. But nobody's yotze. Nobody actually fulfills any mitzvah by this. V'tzorech lachzor lahadlik b'beiso. You have to go back and light at home. Even the guy, whom the shamash or whatever, who lights the candle in shul, he has to go home and do it again. Why? Because nobody's yotze in shul. Good, so nobody's yotze in shul. So why do I do it? Why do we light in the shul if nobody is yotze? Just for pirsumei nisa, where does that come from? So the Beis Yosef brings two reasons for this, and we'll see in a minute another reason as well, an older reason. The Beis Yosef in number six says the following. When we write here that we put a Chanukiah in the Beis HaKnesset, so look at the reasons carefully with me, and we'll see if we can understand the reason, we'll work out whether this is going to apply for us in the town hall downtown as well. Number six, in the middle of the first line, Nira, it seems to me, Shetiknu Kain, why did they make this new this minhag of lighting in shul? Mipnei ha'orchim, because they were guests. She'ein lehem bayit, they have no home. Lahadlik bought a light in the house. Just like we see there was a mitzvah, there was a takana, I should say, to light, to make kiddush on Shabbos in shul. Mishum orchim da'achle v'shasu b'beis haKnesset. And he quotes there from the Gemara in Pesachim. V'chein kasef ha'kolbo. And he says this is what the reason of the kolbo, which is a sefer from the 12th, 13th century. The 14th century, I beg your pardon, in Spain. The Kolbo is the 14th century in Spain. The Kolbo quotes this reason. There are people living in the shul. Just like we make Kiddush on Friday night, because there are people who were living in the shul on Friday night, they had to hear Kiddush. They would be eating in the shul and sleeping in the shul. Now, you and I know that you have to make Kiddush where you eat, Kiddush b'makom suda. So they ate that. They had a meal in the shul. So, too, there are people who are sleeping and eating in the shul, and therefore they have to light Hanukkah candles in the shul. That is the reason for lighting candles in shul. That's the first reason. We'll analyze that reason in a minute. The Kasav Oid, and there's a second reason he brings. Oid Tam Acher. There's a further reason. There's a couple more sheets. Are you bringing some more sheets in? Okay, just put your hand up quickly if you need a sheet. Just one or two over here. Don't forget the nice people on the right wing, or maybe they're on the left wing, depending on their perspective, depending which way you're looking at it. Oh, okay, good. There's a few over here. Yeah, I'll take one here. One second. Okay, let's pick it up on the second line of number 6. Because of Oid Tam Acher, Shehu Kedei Lefarsem Hanes. A second unconnected reason, we really want to publicize the miracle as much as possible, Mipnei Kol Ha'am, in front of all the people in a public place, Ulesadeh HaBrochas Lifneihem. We want to make the brochas in front of them. The brochas are a kind of publicizing of the miracle too. We'll see that soon. Sheyesh Mezeh Pirsum Gadol. It's a very big public event to stand and make a brocha. Everybody likes to make a brocha, you know? To do a mitzvah without making a brocha, it's funny. It feels a bit strange, you know? When you count the Omer and you forget a night and they tell you, you can count for the rest of the Omer but without a brocha, it's, you know, even though you know and I know that the brocha really is a separate thing. The mitzvah is the mitzvah, the brocha is a separate. To do it with a brocha, it has a chain to it. So to do it, says, with a brocha in public, it's even greater pirsum in this. So sheyesh b'zeh pirsum gadol, la'Hashem yisparach, okay, v'kiddush shmoi, it's a kiddush Hashem, k'shem mevarchim ato b'makelot, when you, in a public place, b'makelot, in a keilah, if you make a public brocha. That's a big pirsum in this. V'zeh loshen ha'rivash, and then he quotes the Rivash, also 14th century in Spain, b'tshuva, in a tshuva, where he says, Aminag azala hadlik b'beta knesses, minag vatikin hu, says the Rivash in the 14th century, this is already an ancient minag. Now, vatikin means old, a couple of hundred years old maybe. We'll see soon where it comes from. Mishum pirsumi nisekeven she'ein anu yicholen l'kaim ha-mitzvah ketikuna. And now he brings another reason, especially, he says, since already by the 14th century, it's difficult to do the mitzvah in its proper way, l'hadlik kol echad b'petach beito. Because already in the 14th century in Spain, things were getting difficult for the Jewish community, and the Hanukkah was gradually moving into the house behind closed doors and closed curtains. So he says, especially nowadays, says the Rivash, when it's very hard for us to do anything, even semi-public, it's nice to do it in a shul. It's a pirsum anes, there's a tzakan, there's a new minag to do it in the shul. Here you see two different reasons. The Kolbo's reason is, people live in the shul, people eat in the shul, that's their home, so we light there. A second reason is, we need to publicize the miracle, especially since we're not really able to do it properly anymore at home, we can't light outside. This connection between, on the one hand, having to light inside, and on the other hand, wanting to light in shul is a very interesting one. When did we start lighting inside the house? When did the Hanukkah move in behind closed doors? So it's not 100% clear. The Gemara mentions already that in a shasat chak, in a situation of potential pogroms or whatever, so you're allowed to light inside the house. It's not ideal, but it's allowed. The already in the 12th century, I brought you in the footnotes, the Bala Itzer in the 12th century, who was in Provence, he quotes the minhag that some people are lighting already inside the house. He doesn't like it. He says, I don't like it, but people are doing it. The Orzarua in the 13th century in Vienna is also writing that it's common to light inside the house. By the 16th century in the Ramah, it was already the standard minhag. People were not lighting in the street. Baruch Hashem, now in the 20th century, the Hanukkahs have come back out to the window, maybe even to the street a little bit in the yard, but back then it wasn't. I remember once in London many years ago, there was an Israeli came to be the Rav of one of the shuls in London, and he said, I don't understand, everybody's lighting their Hanukkahs inside the house. People should light them at least in the window or in the street. I said, you know, you can light it in the window. It might not end the way you expected, whatever, we'll see. He lit it in the window. A brick came through the window. Hassas says, now you understand why people are not lighting in the window as much, but that's a rarity, even in Chutz La'aretz, in many places. And therefore, we see that people moved the Chanukiyahs inside and lighting in the shul became very common. The third reason, and we'll analyze all these reasons in a minute, the third reason why they lit in shul is number seven. The Sefer HaManhig. Now, the Sefer HaManhig is even older. Number seven at the bottom of page two. It's 12th century in Provence as well. So he says as follows. There isn't really no obligation to light in shul, hadli knesh, or chanukah. Ki in bebayetz, as we said, only in the house, she'adam darbo. There has to be in a house where somebody lives. Mida'amrin in kadesh yitiyah mezuzah biyamino. And he quotes the chazal that says there should be a mezuzah on the right. V'nechanukah mismol, a nechanukah on the left. And everybody knows that the Beis HaKnesses, really a shul, doesn't need a mezuzah. A mezuzah is only for a place where somebody actually physically lives. People don't sleep in shuls and therefore doesn't need a mezuzah. You see from here, he says, that Chanukah lights and shuls don't really go together. Only a place with a mezuzah on one side, Chanukah on the other, but not a shul. Ela in kein yesham bayit beit dira. Of course, if someone lives in the shul, that's different. Lechazan beit HaKnesset, for someone who's running the shul, sure. But there is a minhag, he says, already by the 12th century to light in shul. Different reason altogether. The neis was in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaOlamim v'oisim kamo kein b'mikdash ma'at. We use our little mikdash, our shul, our mikdash ma'at. Begola in the galut, lefarseim ha'neis, to publicize the miracle. Lefi shekulam mitkapsim sham. Because everybody is gathered there. So a third reason, which is that this in order to connect us with the Beit HaMikdash and the idea of lighting in the Beit HaMikdash, which was the miracle, so we light in shul. I once heard in the name of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I don't know if this is true, I didn't research it properly, but one of the reasons, he says, people ask, why do we eat donuts? Why do we eat donuts on Chanukah? You know, when I grew up again, nobody had donuts. They had lakkas. But so here they eat donuts, and now it's become very famous. So one of the things, I think it was Rav Shlomo Zalman says, because we want to be able to make an ala michia davka, because it says va'al mizbechecha va'al heichalecha, because the ala michia recites specifically a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So it's nice to say ala va'al mizbechecha va'al heichalecha. That's another reason, if you want to justify to yourself why you're eating so many donuts, you're doing it l'shem shamayim, to remember the Beis HaMikdash. Very nice. So he brings there this reason. By the way, there is a connection. If it's because of the Beis HaMikdash, then there is a machlokus whether they lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash in the morning as well. There is a machlokus in the Rishonim about this. The Rambam actually rules, I didn't bring this in a source, but I brought it in the footnotes. The Rambam actually rules that the Chanukiah in the Beit, the menorah, I should say, in the Beis HaMikdash was also lit in the mornings, not just in the evening, but also in the morning. And this may be the origin of lighting the Chanukiah in shuls in the morning for Shacharis as well. Because there are many shuls where there is such a minhag that they light in the morning, and if indeed it connects with the Beis HaMikdash, then that could be, because there's no reason to light in the morning because of people sleeping in the shul, that's not related, but that might be the reason. In fact, I brought you in the footnote from the Melamed Lahoyer of Ettlinger from Germany, he brings, there were two different minhagim in Germany. In Frankfurt am Main, they lit very long candles, he says. I remember from monks in London also, they light very, very long candles. They lit long candles and let them burn through the night into the morning. He said in Berlin, they lit the candles, then they snuffed them out, probably had one of those little snuffers as well, and they lit them again in the morning. Oh, wow. Okay. Remember, it was Rav Dovitz V. Hoffman, excuse me, I said Rav Ettlinger, the Rav Dovitz V. Hoffman brings down from Frankfurt and Berlin, and his Yortzeit's today. Rav Ettling is your size today. Right. Rav Ettling is your size today. And Rav Dovitz V. Hoffman is the machaber of the Malamed Lahoyle. Very good. So we see that there is there are minhagim to light in the shul, to light in the evening. We saw three different reasons. Should you make a brocha on that lighting in shul? Go to page three, please, or the top of the page. So we saw there are three reasons for it given. Number one, for people who sleep in the shul. Number two, for Pirsum Enisa. Number three, because of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, should we indeed be making a brocha on this? Now, if the reason is because of the people who are sleeping in the shul. Today, nobody's sleeping in the shul. So just because they used to have people sleeping in the shul, today should we continue doing something and not even making a bracha on it because they used to do it, but the whole reason for doing it has now gone away? So that's an interesting question because it brings up the whole question of Kiddush as well on Friday night. Because the reason for Kiddush on Friday night in shul is that people used to sleep in the shul. Because otherwise you can't make Kiddush on Friday night. It has to be Kiddush b'makom suda. So now you'll see that there are two different minhagim. Some shuls in Chutz La'aretz mostly do make Kiddush on Friday night, even though there are no people sleeping in the shul, even though that involves a bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbat for no apparent reason. No, it's now become part of the Nusach, that's of the Tefillah, we keep on making it. The Beit Yosef, you should know, is very unhappy about it. He's very unhappy, he says, if there's no one sleeping in the shul, it's like, it's probably a bracha levatola. And in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is not to say Kiddush on Friday night. Havdalah, yes, on Motzei Shabbos, because you don't need to have people to be eating where there's no dinner of Havdalah b'makom suda. But Kiddush they don't make. As far as I'm aware, the Sfardim and Chutz La'aretz do not make Kiddush on Friday night. In Shul, I'm not sure 100%, but there are different minhagim on that. So, you know, if we no longer have people sleeping in the Shul for Chanukah, will we or will we not continue to do that? Maybe yes, maybe no. This also brings in the question as to whether we continue to do things even when the reason has gone away. We gave some shirim on that some time ago. The Rambam has a famous comment where he says that if it was up to him, he'd get rid of Chazaras HaShatz as well in shul, because Chazaras HaShatz, repeating the Shemona Esrei, was for people that weren't able to daven on their own. And now he says that people have a siddur, people can daven, they're more educated, and they have access to siddurim. He says, but you know, what can I do? I can't get rid of it. It's there already. And therefore, that's an interesting question. If the reason was because of the Beis HaMikdash, okay, so that's the reason. And if the reason was because of Prisum and Nisa, so that still applies in the same way. Now, we see already in number 8 the Shibuli Haleket. The Shibuli Haleket, who is writing here in the 13th century in Italy, if you look in number 8, he says as follows: Vegam anu noyagim lahadlik bebeit haKnesset. He also writes they're lighting in shul. The lo yadanu shorish ve'anaf leminagazeh. He says, I really don't know why we do. I don't know why we light in shul. Umori Rabbi Yehuda Achisheni, and he quotes probably his cousin Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Hayanim lemelahadlik. He would try and avoid wherever he could lighting in shul on Chanukah, lighting Chanukah candles on shul, so that no one asked him to make a brocha. He doesn't want to get involved. And that's also my view, that you shouldn't be making a brocha on these lightings in shul. If everybody's lighting at home, why on earth would you need to light in shul? If you had people sleeping in the shul, of course you'd need to light in shul. Because a guest is chayv in Ner Chanukah. He's already unhappy about the minhag. The minhag is just evolving at that stage. And he's already saying, I actually don't see any purpose to it. But already, you see by the Shulchan Aruch's time, this was mentioned. And if you look here in the Bet Yosef, he makes an interesting point. Why would we make a bracha on lighting in shul? We've seen it's already a bit questionable why we light in shul. Would we make a bracha? Number 9. Mevarchin al zeh, kamoshe mevarchin al halel de Rosh Chodesh. The Bet Yosef says an interesting thing. Look, we make a bracha on Halel on Rosh Chodesh. Halel on Rosh Chodesh is not really Me'ika Hadin. The Gemara says you make Halel on certain days. Which days? Chag, Chanukah, okay? There are certain days of the year that you make. Doesn't mention Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a minhag. So make, what's that? You make a half, halal, etc., etc. But the question is, do we make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh? And you've probably noticed there are some people that will not make a bracha on halal and Rosh Chodesh. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, writes, just like we make a bracha on halal and Rosh Chodesh, so if you do that, you can make a bracha on Chanukah candles for the minhag as well. Afal pisha eino ela minhag, even though Rosh Chodesh is only ever a minhag. Umikol mokum ba'oisa hadlaka shel Beis Knesses, you're not Yotze. He says, fine, but you're not Yotze. The problem with this is, what did the Beit Yosef just say? Just like we make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh for Halel, on a minag, so you too can also make a bracha on Ner Chanukah in Shul. The problem is, if you look at what he says about Rosh Chodesh, he says, you shouldn't really make a bracha there either. That's the problem. Look in number 10. The Koren Halel B'Diluk, we say half Halel on Rosh Chodesh, ben yachid ben betzibur, an individual at home can say it, so can the shul. There is an opinion that the tzibur should make a bracha, which is what most people do today. The first thing he says is individuals should not be making a bracha on Rosh Chodesh on Hallel. And there is a view that even the tzibur shouldn't make a bracha. The minhag in Eretz Yisrael says we don't make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh either. And then the Ramah comes in and says that he's the most lenient, and he says that the individual as well as the tzibur can in Poland already people did make a bracha. So you see already that it's hard to justify making a bracha on a Chanukiah even in shul. It's not clear why we do it. If it's because the people who sleep in shul, well, there are no people sleeping in shul. If it's because it's a minag for Pirsumi Nisa, well, do you make a bracha on a minag? Or do you not make a bracha on a minag? Rosh Chodesh, maybe yes, maybe no, etc. It's not so straightforward, yes. Good. Just like the man who makes Kiddush in shul on Friday night, makes Kiddush in shul and goes home and makes Kiddush again. Same thing, because he's not Yotza. There is another, perhaps, way of looking at the lighting in shul, which the Gra brings in. The Vilna Gaon has a different angle. Look in number 11. Madlikin, says the Vilna Gaon. Raya, he wants to bring a proof. Mehalel, but not Halel Rosh Chodesh, Mehalel the Lele Pesachim. Halel on Leil Pesach, in shul. Shenitkan ala kois, we're going to make Halel later on in Seder night. I know it feels like a long time till Pesach. It's really not actually that long till Pesach. Okay, we make a bracha on Halel and on the coast. We have a break briya goffin on the coast. The omrim bebesak nesis mishum pirsumei nisa. Here's a good quiz question. Which two things do you do in shul every year because of pirsumei nisa? So everyone's going to get hadlokas ner Chanukah, but also saying Halel on Seder night in shul. Now, of course, many people in Nusach Ashkenaz do not say Halel in shul. I never said Halel in England in shul on Seder night. There was always a little group of people that stayed behind at the end of the shul, you know, who when they sat there, said their little. Of course, in Eretz Yisrael, where Minhag Agro is extremely widespread, it is very standard to say Halel in shul on Seder night, okay? And the Gra says the two of them connect together. So maybe, and of course, do we make a bracha in Halel on shul, in shul on Seder night? Do we make a bracha likrei to Halel? Yes, we do. So he says, forget about Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a complicated issue. But on Halel, we definitely make a bracha on Seder night, and therefore we can do that as well. So I think you've already seen a little bit how this is not such a straightforward issue. There are complications even to make a bracha in shul on the Ner Chanukah. So let's now take that to the public arena. So you're down at the local town hall, and the local Chabad rabbi is going up in his big cherry picker thing, you know, in his big crane, going up to the top, and is about to light the Chanukah candles, the Chanukiah, outside the town hall. Can you make an argument that this is acceptable with a bracha? So, at first sight, you could turn around and say, well, of course, if we see one of the reasons for lighting in shul was Pirsumei Nisa, then this is even more Pirsumei Nisa. You're in the middle of the town square, there are thousands of people watching. There was one particular football game, if I remember, read that there were 70,000 people in the stadium watching them light the Chanukiah. This is Pirsumei Nisa, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, okay? And therefore, you could argue that this was absolutely justifiable. On the other hand, Chazal never mentioned it, and there were times when they could have done this if they wanted to do this. Okay, maybe in Poland in the 16th century was not Shaykh, but they could have instituted this in Eretz Israel in times gone by, but they never did. And you could also even make a counter-argument. If lighting in shul is connected with the fact that we can no longer light properly outside our homes, we have to hide the Chanukiah in the house. So now that we again, in many places, light outside the house, there's less of a reason for lighting public Chanukiahs, maybe on that argument as well. Also, you could argue that there's nothing halachically wrong with light. You can light a Chanukiah anywhere you like. If you don't make a brocha, there's no shaila, what's the problem? You could also raise the question whether hashkafically, socially, politically, it's the right thing or the wrong thing to do to be lighting public Chanukiahs in the middle of New York, Philadelphia, etc. And anyone who was aware of the phenomenon in the 70s and 80s when it first started, of course, the Rebbe was very, very vehement that this was a positive thing. I brought a quote here. He puts in footnote 18, he says, it's been an inspiration to many, many Jews, evoked in them a spirit of identity with their Jewish people. To many others, it's brought a sense of pride in their Yiddishkeit. And I think most people who have witnessed this would agree with this. I can't speak for you, but there are many people indeed who feel a sense of Jewish solidarity, especially at this time of year when this place is full of Christmas trees, Christmas music, Christmas gifts. I've just come back from America. Believe me, it's like crazy, as you probably know and remember. It's nice for Jewish people who might not associate so much with Christmas, even though actually going back not that far, there were more than a few Jewish people who had Christmas trees in the house as well. But it might be nice for people to identify with that in a certain way. Having said that, I'm sure you will also be aware that as the Chabad movement started the public Chanukiah lighting, there was a reaction, quite a strong reaction, from many Jews in America who actually took this to court and said this was an infringement of the U.S. Constitution because it was mixing church and state and using public land in order to have religious ceremonies. And this was actually taken through in many cases. In 1989, the US Supreme Court made a ruling that an 18-foot menorah in Pittsburgh was not in breach of the US Constitution. It said it's simply a secular symbol which was part of the winter holiday season. Okay? So the US Supreme Court has ruled that a public Chanukiah is a secular symbol. So you can see even hashgafically there is a debate about how that works. But what about making a brocha? The Supreme Court, as far as I'm aware, did not rule about making a brocha or not making a brocha. But Baruch Hashem and Lahavdil, many of our great poskim have. Let's have a look first at those against. Because those against actually outnumber those four. Have a look on page number four. Let's look at three tshuvas. One from the Minchas Yitzchak, Yav Yitzchak Weiss of Manchester, and then at the Eidach HaRedis, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, and then the Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner. Let's have a look together, number 12. Should we be making a broch on Neros Chanukah, number 12, B'tasef HaTzibur V'hanoar, everyone's gathered together, including the youth. We'll see whether that's good or bad in a minute. B'kikar Ha'ir B'chanukah Mishum Pirsuminisa. That's our Shaila. Look what he says. Hine, kama dachaku rabbeinu limtzot tam al brocha zo b'beit haKnesset. He says, first of all, look how difficult it has been for us to justify even making a brocha in shul. We saw some of the to and the fro on that. How can we make a brocha on a Chanukiah in shul? K'mavor b'tshuvas harivash, and he quotes the Rivash, b'tshuvas chacham tzvi. Eich yale al adas. How could you even imagine l'chadesh me'atzmenu ma'shelo sharu avoseinu? To start bringing in something that no one ever said, there's a chutzpah to make a brocha on a Chanukiah in the town square when it's not even so clear we do make a brocha in shul. Yes, the Shulchan Aruch says, but it's not as so clear how we do. So we would never agree to do that. Obeyosa al ikram shel asifas ke'elo, especially on public mixed gatherings like this, ein ruach hachamim nocheimen. He says, I don't even like the fact that all the youth are gathered together for the public gathering at all. It's a separate issue. Of course, the Rebbe would see it the other way around. He'd say, la'efach, we want the youth to be there. These are youth who are not going to be anywhere else. We want them gathered together. Where do you want them to gather? At a non-Jewish event? Let them gather at the Chanukiah lighting. Rav Weiss is not happy. He's not happy with the gathering, and he's certainly not happy with the brocha. Rav Waldenberg, similarly, number 13, imutu levarich al hadlakas neros Chanukah b'misiba. He's really talking about at a party. And then he brings from 1981 this tshuva. Barur hadavar. He's not in any doubt. Barur hadavar. She'ein levarich. You can't make a brocha at a party, at a wedding, at a Chanukiah in public. Upukhazi kamadeus, kamadiot. Look how much ink nishbachu bekesher lemina adlaka b'leisa has been spilt over the question of whether you can make a brocha even in shul. The eich she'av shel levarich hakach, and how we can even do such a thing in shul. Kama migdoli doris hikpidu be'emes shelo levarich al adlaka b'beisa knesses. And he goes on to say that there were many people who actively opposed even making a brocha in shul on a hadlakas neiros. Hagam shela masa ken bevarachin k'psak ha-shulchan aruch. Even though, of course, we do make a bracha in shul, that's settled. Al ken barur pashut. Now it's barur and pashut. Hadava she'ein b'kocheinu lo'asif od la'anhig la'adlik l'varech al hadlokas neris b'misibot. We cannot make a bracha outside shul. V'yesh lim no'bezeh. You have to stop this. You have to make it. You have to get rid of the minhag. V'amavarech, mavarech brocha levatola. If you make a bracha, you're breaking the third commandment. Yes or no, depending on how you pass him, but it's certainly osir. And the more you can stop this from happening, the more schar you'll get for stopping people making a bracha levatola. It's not a public kiddush Hashem, it's a public chilul Hashem, in the sense that you're breaking this very serious issa, and therefore you mustn't make a bracha. Very clear, no question. Rav Vosna, number 14, just pick it up, maybe on the third line, I don't want to read the whole thing. He says, "V'imken ulai lo nitya," said at the end of the third line, it could be that we have no minag haminag rag bebeit haKnesset, only in the shul, not outside the shul. Yesh bezed dimyon lahadlokas menorah b'mikdash. Like we said, the shul is more like the Beis HaMikdash. The Liberty Bell in Philadelphia is no remez to the Beis HaMikdash. V'ikah bezed zechel haMikdash. V'kevan she'ein nidon didan duma domer legamrei ein b'kochein lahosif. And since lighting in the town square is not like the Beis HaMikdash, we cannot add to the minhag. But he gives you throws you a little string out there, a little rope. It says, "V'yadati gam yadati shehayu medinos shehayu mevarchim emesibos keila." I know that there are places that they do make a bracha, and we'll get to that soon. Aval mi yodeya im ruach chachamim nochei mehem. I'm not sure. He says, it's less baror pashut, but he doesn't like it. I'm not sure if this is the right thing to do. I think it's the wrong thing to do. So Rav Vosna also says he doesn't agree with it. Rav Moshe Sternbuch clearly paskens that even if you have a temporary minion there, even if you daven mariv there, that doesn't make it a better knesset. You cannot light, for example, at a wedding, you cannot light with a brocha, a chanukiah with a brocha. Only you need a permanent minion in shul, a little bit like, remember, we have another minag on Friday night, which is a bit strange, me'ein sheva, the minag of Magin Avot. We say the whole thing, Magin Avot, and we make a brocha at the end, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbat. So why did they bring that in like a mini Chazarat HaShatz? So they originally brought that in because the shuls that were in the fields were a long way out, and therefore they were worried on Shabbos. Of course, people are there. They don't want people who take a long time to daven Shmona Esrei to be left on their own when everybody else has gone, and they'd have to walk home in the dark through a dangerous field. So they lengthened the service on Friday night in order to help the slow daveners catch up to the rest of the minyan. Now, today, do we still do this? The answer is yes, we still do, but only in a permanent shul, like Rav Sternbuch says. If you put together a minyan in your house for Friday night, you daven Friday night davening, but you don't say Magen Avot. That's the halacha, because it's not a shul. So too, you can't just make a minyan and say that it's a shul for Hadlokas Neris. Not so poshut, he says that, but on Hallel, on Seder night, we do say, even with a temporary minyan, but he doesn't like you to light candles. Others who say you can't make a bracha include Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, although I brought you in the footnote, there's a machlokas about what he said. Some people say he said not to. Chabad say he said yes to. So you can look it up as to where they're getting it from. Rav Soloveitchik, I wish Rabbi Ziegler was here. He would be able to, maybe other people here can also comment on that. Rav Soloveitchik, it is said, was not happy with the practice of lighting a public function. So I brought you a source there from Harei Kedim. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky didn't like it. Rav Eliashiv didn't like it. Therefore, the number of those against clearly outweighs the number of those in favor. So where are the people in favor coming from? So let's go on to page number 5. This is where the plot thickens. Because if you remember, the Shulchan Aruch said that the first reason he gave for lighting in shul, he quoted the Kolbo. What's the reason he gave? He said, because there are people who live in the shul and they don't have anywhere else to light, so we can light in the shul for those people. If you look at the actual wording of the Kolbo, it's not clear whether he had exactly the same version of the Kolbo, but that's not what the Kolbo actually says, at least in the version that we have today. What does the Kolbo actually say, number 15 here? Look, v'nagu kol ha'makom es lahadlik ner chanukah bebeit ha'knesses. There is a minag to light in shul, but he doesn't mention the guests. Lahoitzi, because that fulfills the mitzvah of mi she'enu baki, someone who's not baki, someone who doesn't know how, v'she'enu zariz bezot, and someone who is not motivated, someone who didn't bother. Says the Kolbo, if there are people who don't bother or people who don't know, so they can be yotzi with the public lighting in shul. Whoa, well, that's changed everything. It's nothing to do with the people who are sleeping there. It's all about people who are not lighting for any other reason. And then now you already see, you can see from this to start with, how Chabad are going to take this kolbo and are going to say, well, look, now we have a matzav. We have a situation where thousands and hundreds of thousands of Jews are not, they don't know how, or they're not able, or they're not motivated for whatever reason. They can come to a public Hanukkah lighting, at least in a shul, and maybe even outside a shul, and be yotzei somehow the mitzvah of Chanukah licht, which is very interesting. By the way, it won't help us at a frum wedding. If you want to light Chanukah candles at a frum wedding, when everybody, the people there are lighting at home and they are motivated, so it won't help you with that. But maybe it will help you with the public outreach angle. And indeed, the Az Nidbaru, Rav Binyamin Silver, who was a very chosh of a poisek on the Moses Gedolei HaTorah here, he died about 10 years ago. If you look here in number 16 and 17, I brought you two extracts from his tshuvas. Aval ben nidon shemadlikim bekikar ha'ir. What about lighting in the town square? Number 16. V'ha'ikahu bishvil ha'noar. It's for the youth. It's for the kids. Umistamu rabbi mehem lo mishtatfim bebet haKnesset. The probability is, he says, most of these kids never went to shul for Maariv to light and see. They didn't see it in shul. Va'afilu imhem bichlal ner ishu beso. And even if you say they yotze if their parents are lighting at home because they're part of the household and me'ika hadin, one candle per the home is fine. Aval yesh din adloka midin mahadrin ner kol echad ve'echad. But there's still a mahadrin that everyone should have their own Chanukah light. So what about these kids? U'mimela efshe la'asod brocha b'lo shum pikpuk. And he says clearly, you can make a brocha in the town square without any question at all. Very interesting. Rav Vosner was borrowed that it wasn't Rav Vosner, who was it that was borrowed? Sitz Eliezer was borrowed that you cannot make a brocha. He's borrowed that you can make a brocha. He's clear that you can make a brocha. The Adif Mi Beis HaKnesses is even better than Shul. Kevin Shizeh B'chutz Mamash. This is real Pesum Enisa. The Avshikas for Oitam Mi Madla Lokas Beis HaKnesses, even though they wrote other reasons about lighting in Shul, the guests, etc. Ika Hatam Hu Mishum Pesum Enisa Shal Had Lokas B'chutz. So he himself says very clearly, you can make a brocha lighting outside. In number 17, he takes that, he goes to the next stage and he says he's nervous about extending it beyond that. What about other public places? Even though I've said that you can light in public places, I don't want to tell you can light everywhere. He says, the town square, I will go. Not every wedding and every bar mitzvah. He says, that I don't think. It's not really coming from a minag of the shul. And he says a chiddush here, very interesting. When Chazal brought in the original mitzvah of Chanukah light, where did we have to light Chanukah lights? Outside the house. He says, now that we light them inside the house, there's an element that we haven't fully fulfilled the real original takana of it being facing out. The hamadlikim bifnim, people who light in the house, adayin yesh alav chovat adlaka b'chutz. This is a very big chiddush. That he says, even if you light inside the house, if you can do something that's more public as well, there's an extra level of obligation. Even according to the Rishonim that say that your Yotzei, you are fulfilling the mitzvah by lighting in the room with the curtains closed, there's still a residual element of the mitzvah of lighting outside, and for the people who are not able to light outside, a town square will do that for them. So he clearly says, and as I said before, Chabad clearly rules on this, that there's a justification for making a brocha outside, on an outside Chanukiah, and as far as I'm aware, wherever I've ever been, and Chabad are lighting a public menorah, they light there with a brocha. Interestingly and surprisingly, one of the people who is favorable to lighting with a brocha is Rav Avadya Yosef. Now, Rav Avadya Yosef, of course, he's a Sephardi posek, and for him, a brocha levatola, the Ashkenazim paskin that a brocha levatola is very negative, it's very bad, but it's not a breach of the third commandment. It's not actually a doraisa. To stand, if I walk into the room here and just get inspired and say, you know, baruch with the shem of malchus, baruch atah Hashem, elokeinu melech olam, she'akol niyeh bidvaro. I'm so excited, I just want to say everything comes from Hashem. So the Ashkenazim paskin, look, that's not right. You just made a brocha without needing to, at least have a cup of water, but it's not a brocha levatola. It's something which is positive. It's osa. but at least it's not positive, but it's not as bad. The Sfarim say, no, forget it. Every time you make a bracha levatola, it's an issa d'oraita and a breach of the third commandment. So you would have thought Rav Avadya would be at the vanguard of those who are trying to. Interestingly, he's not. He says here that there is a justification for it. Pick it up a little bit on the. Let's have a look here. Number 18. The Hinei Raiti here, Malachim Midayonim. I've seen many of the major Dayonim, Mirabane Hodorenu, from the rabbis of the generation. Odot Mesibat Hanerchot, Beulam Ismachot. I've seen many parties and they put them together in halls. Balele Chanukah Im Hamon Chogeg, and there are many people celebrating. Umashmin Behem Divrei Torah, and they say Torah. Umusel Akarvet Yisrael Atzura Machzavtam. Ha'im Rishayim Lahadlik Sham Nerot Chanukah Brachot. Are you allowed to make a bracha on a Chanukah in a party? Mishum Pirsuminisa. Levarech al Hashem b'makelot, and to make a bracha in public, as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, that reference for the shul. K'mo shepasha the minig hazeh b'beit haKnesset. Oh, Shema Nema, the loy lahoisif alav, v'day lanu levarech al Hadlak Ner Chanukah b'beit haKnesset. Or is it just enough to do it in shul, shehu mikdash ma'at, etc.? Look at what he says. And he says at the end of that, he says at the end of that first paragraph, "V'roiv rabanei doreinu sovrim kesvara achrona." Most people hold that you can't do it. The sheva al tase adif, better not to make the brocha. Look what he says on the fourth line up from the bottom. Ulam, nevertheless, b'sefer Mishnat Yaakov, he quotes a sefer there, kasav levarich, that you can make a brocha. Kipamim rabot, because it happens many times. Hapirsum b'mesibot eile, the kind of publicization at these gatherings, gadol biyoter, is very, very significant. Afilu min apirsum shel beis haKnesset mehakal berov hanoa lasham, berov hanahor lasham. Fine, and even bigger than lighting there in the shul. Okay, achrei hodeh Hashem utanu et kol aniskaron leel beyishuv divrei maran hashulchan aruch, etc. Nir shehanogim levarech al adlokas neirut Chanukah b'misibot keelu. He thinks that people who make a brocha on this public lighting, yesh lahem al they have on whom to rely. I'll give you an eitzah, he says, daven Maariv there. If you daven Maariv there, then it becomes something of a shul, even though we saw Rav Moshe Sternbuch said it won't really help. The Rav Avadya thinks it will actually help to have tefillas Aariv, b'tzibur miyad la'acha adloka, or kefi shenoigim b'batei Knesses. In the psak that's brought down by Rav Avadya Yosef's followers and his son, etc., they bring this psak down that it's good to daven Maariv. Some say you really should daven Maariv, but it sounds from him that Maariv is, if you like, a bonus and it's not absolutely necessary. But he clearly says there that you can make a brocha, you have on whom to rely to make a brocha. So I think it's clear to say that there are really dayas, big people on both sides of this debate. There are a large number of people who say you can't make a brocha. There are significant people who say you can make a brocha. Rav Aryeh Leibovitz has a piece on this. I brought you in the footnotes various other references to other places. He cites a rather sort of begrudging justification of Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter says, you know something, Rav Herschel Shechter, it probably is a brocha levatola to make a brocha on a public Chanukiah, which, let's face it, is the way that many of the poskim pasken. But you know something, you're allowed to make a brocha levatola to teach people how to make brochas. So maybe there's a kind of a chinuch aspect going on that, people don't know how to light a Chanukiah, so you light in the middle of town. I'm sure that the Chabadnikim would not be happy with that reasoning. Shkoich, he says you can, but that's not the reason. They say you can because it is a major pirsumi nisa, and I brought you some references here to Chabad Psak on their website, etc. There are two other angles that I want to bring just before we finish, which are very interesting. The first one is Shalom Malchus. Meaning, what about lighting in the White House? What's the deal there? Or lighting in 10 Downing Street? Should we be making a brocha there for the Prime Minister, for the President, etc.? Well, this was before Chanukah. Right. Oh, right, so he didn't say Hashem's name. But you know something? In 10 Downing Street, you can get away without saying Hashem's name. They won't realize. in today's White House, there's going to be five, you know, there's five people who live in the White House that know how to say brochas. So the question is, can you or can't you? So I brought you an interesting angle here, which is Shalom Malchus. The Magen Avraham Paskens, in number 19, here, Mashmak Tzas, it sounds a little bit from the Gemara in Gittin, but Masa de Bar Kamtsa. Remember the whole story of Kamtsa and Bar Kamtsa, where they wanted to bring a korban, and they wouldn't bring the korban because it was invalid, etc., and they didn't want to bring an invalid korban. And from that started the whole, or that was one of the triggers, if you like, that brought the whole korban by Sheni. It says, it's Mashmash Shemutal Avor Aloy Tase. You can even break a loy tase, you can even break a Torah prohibition, mipnei eimat hamalchutz, because you're frightened that if you don't, what will the authorities think? Which is interesting, because then, even if you turn around and said, look, there's no justification, if you said that, for making a brocha in the White House, it could be that eimat hamalchutz would work. Now, then that raises the interesting question these days of what's malchus and what's not malchus. Meaning, back in the days when life and death was in the hands of the king, that was a different thing. Today you could argue it's democracy, or you could argue, you know something, today's rulers also are fickle, unpredictable, and it's good to have them on side, and you don't know what they're going to say if they find out that you're not doing it right. And I think that's true, as we see in the world that we live in, a very strange political environment around us. The truth is, at the White House, there's a better Eitzah still, just Stav Meiriv, like Rav Avadya Yosef says, you've probably got a minion there anyway, even before any of the Jews arrive. So you can daven Meiriv there as well, maybe that would help. If it's not Hanukkah, I don't see how it would help. But there is an element of Shalom Malchus. And the last thing I want to just pick up on is an interesting question on Pirsumei Nisa. Pirsumei Nisa for whom? Is it just for Jews, or is there actually an angle on reaching out and publicizing the Hanukkah miracle to the non-Jewish world as well? And there's no question that Chabad, as a motivating factor when they're lighting the Hanukkahs, it's for the non-affiliating Jews that are there. And I've not spoken to Chabadnikim, and I couldn't find anything written on it, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's also an angle that there is a Pirsumei Nisa there for the non-Jewish world, because the Rebbe was very keen on spreading Torah in a sense of Sheva Mitzvahs, B'nai Noach, to the non-Jewish world as well. Actually more keen than many others in the Chabad movement were. That was a bit of a tension, whether they should be focusing in any way on the non-Jewish world. The Rebbe felt that they should. But the question is whether there is or whether there isn't such a thing as Pirsumei Nisa for the non-Jews. And I brought you two perspectives on this. The perspective number one is the Igros Moshe. The Igros Moshe is dealing with the question as to what happens if a Jew is traveling on Hanukkah and they need to light candles in an inn or something like that, and the only other people there are non-Jews. And since one of the elements, and they're staying there, they're living there, is there a Pirsumei Nisa angle there? Look what Rav Moshe says here. Truth is, today on planes and everything, there's all sorts of shilas. They won't let you light candles or oil lamps on a plane, but should you be taking like a flashlight or get one of these, you know, handy-dandy new Tzomet electric chanukiyas? You can get electric chanukiyas. Does that work? Does that not work? Is it better than nothing on a cruise, etc., etc.? But he says here, back in the day before they had electrical gadgets, number 20, Rav Moshe says the following: Hamitzvah shehu bishvil hanes gam biyachid af kasha leka pirsum. There's a mitzvah even on an individual to light candles, even for themselves, even when there's nobody else watching. Ulachein af kasha echad nimse b'makam sheleka shum ish. And therefore, even if you're caught, if you find yourself in a place where there's not a soul around, just you, and you're living there for the night, you have to light, and you have to light with a brocha. And he quotes the Shilte Giborim al Hada Achsanai on the case of someone staying at an inn. And the question is, if you're standing there surrounded by non-Jews, and you don't have your own room, you have to light there with all the non-Jews watching you in the inn. You haven't got your own courtyard, etc. Chayv lahadlik. Shilti Giborim says there you have to light ner laatzmoi. Afal pisha ishdoi madlekit babeit. So even though your wife might be lighting back in the house, you're traveling. I was traveling this week. I just got back before Hanukkah, but there are many people traveling on Hanukkah. You have to light in front of the non-Jewish crowd, no question. Upirsum The Hanochrim, what about, you could say, well, there's a pirsum, there's a publicized for the non-Jewish people there. Loi mistamashi yitchashev pirsum. That's not called a pirsum, says Rav Moshe. Mikomokum mechayv lahadlik. He has to light for himself, not because of the non-Jewish people around him. V'hu lefiyani yasdaiti barur, this is very clear, kachikavti, af sheleke gam nochrim, whether there are non-Jews, it's irrelevant. De pirsum hanochrim einu klum. There's nothing, it's nothing. The publicization to a non-Jewish audience is irrelevant to the mitzvah. And he quotes other Sfarim on this as well. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is very, very clear that there is no such thing as Prisum Enisa to the non-Jewish world. However, others indicate otherwise. There is a Sefer in the Rishonim called Sefer HaNiyar, and I brought you some sources for another article on this at the bottom. And there is a posik which maybe we can end with, which is a posik in Yechezkel, fascinating posik, a beautiful posik on which we based, of course, our Kaddish. And he says there, Yechezkel says, Vehit Kadalti, Vehit Kadishti, okay, made great and sanctified, and I will be known and sanctified. V'nodati le'eine goyim rabim, says Hashem, I will be known amongst many, many goyim. V'yadu ki ani Hashem, they will know that I am Hashem. So this idea here, v'hit kadilti, this idea of God will be elevated and sanctified, not just for the Jewish people, but eine goyim rabim, in the eyes of many other nations, may be based at least on a pshat, maybe not la halacha, but on a pshat based on that posik, there is clearly an inyan, an idea of pirsumei nisa to the non-Jewish world as well. And Chanukah now is a very public holiday. You know, Macy's, they have the Christmas tree, they have the Chanukiah. That's how it works. That's how it works. And therefore, for all of these reasons, it could be that the public downtown Chanukiah has a very specific place in the Jewish year. And there are views on which you can rely if you're asked to light the Chanukiah in Washington, D.C. next year, whatever, with a bracha, then you'll be able to whip out the source sheet and have a look at it. Yes, a couple of questions. Right.
Observe Hanukkah. They came to Sweden with a small minority like that, though my father was the Orthodox Rav there. They still kept it very, very low profile.
Quiet, yes.
And I remember that as a child, all the children in the school and everybody was celebrating their holiday, and I never really shared much
right.
about Hanukkah.
And
then I went back there in 2006.
And they have now a Hanukkah?
Had a huge,
okay.
huge
That's exactly what we're saying, though.
An ice menorah.
I see, there we have the ice menorah in Sweden.
You
heard it here.
Royal Palace,
right?
And the music was playing, and they made the brochen, and I felt such enormous pride.
Right.
In openly being Jewish.
Right, I hear that. I hear that.
And if they hadn't done that, I mean, it was just like a miracle. That really was a miracle.
So next year in Sweden. Okay, please God, in Stockholm. And we need to finish now, but thank you very much. Next week, please God, we'll continue with other ideas. So you're yotz already. You don't have to lie.
No, you said that when you're flying or you're traveling, you're not yotz with your wife. But why not?
Because you have a mitzvah pirsum nisa for yourself as well.